Terry McLaurin, 3 years, $96 million is what has been announced to this point. We're awaiting the actual details in this contract. But the story is, he has been signed. This is all over. He's going to be on the field against the Giants. I think he's going to be on a snap count. I know there are people that are suggesting maybe he won't be, that he's got 2 weeks, that he'll probably be able to ramp up to speed and go out and play just as much as he would have. That would be amazing if that's the case, and that would be a huge deal. Then I really do believe that, you know, this was, while a pain in the butt and problematic, you know, not nearly as significant a blow as we all assume. He just goes out there and plays 87% of offensive snaps.
Be amazed.
Six balls for 89 yards or something. He's just Terry McLaurin. Okay. No harm, no foul. Good for you. You got some money, and you're forgiven. I got this text from my buddy. I think this is the perfect answer to our question. So we're asking people, do you hold any kind of a grudge? Does your feelings at all toward Terry McLaurin change based on all of the last several weeks, or is it forgiven already? He says, this is a big Commanders fan, has been a season ticket in the a holder in the past. He goes, if our offense looks like S against the Giants, I'll give him some blame. Or if he gets a nagging injury, I'm going to be furious. He says, if they score 30 in a win in week one and they start fast in the first couple of weeks, I'll get over it. The holdout was very annoying, though. Felt incredibly selfish.
Did I send you that? Because that's my view.
Danny Ruiz.
That's it exactly. Now, because my prediction is they're going to start slow. My prediction is he will start slow. And that was my gripe. Not him trying to get more money.
If neither happens, though, then what?
Then I'll go, I was wrong. Hold out more, I guess. If you're ready to go and without the things that you need to play football, that's the impression that I'm under, is we missed the moment where he needed to already be at practice and practicing for this year. The business of football this year was happening and he was not part of it, which means he was standing in the way, which means he was the cloud over everything. I'm not talking about the contract stuff. That was a separate detail. To me, if the things that I'm worried about come to pass, again, offense is sluggish, he's sluggish, soft tissue injury or whatever, I'll just be standing there going, yeah, this is the thing I was afraid of and I will hold it against you. Now, that's not I hate that, boom. I'm not doing anything like that. That's not the case. Way too many good deposits in the bank. Way too many good memories. Way too many good moments. Way too good of a dude. My point all along was, I didn't think that you would do this. Not that you wouldn't try to get more money. Of course, that's reasonable. We should all try to do that. I'm talking about put the business of the current team, the current contract that you're under, second. I didn't think he was the kind of person that would do that. There are a lot of players that have done that. I didn't think that was the camp he was in. So all I did was I moved him from the perfect little angel camp to the, oh, maybe, you know, not total diva wide receiver head case jerk, but sliding down the spectrum a little bit towards that.
Yeah, but if you're angriest, it was worse than that, right? I mean, the day you're screaming about him not being at the preseason game.
Yeah, because that to me is indefensible. And I still believe that.
Yeah.
That is not something that I will ever think is the right call.
Football coverage on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL. CBS, Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS or Paramount Plus all season long. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. This is not one that I can answer. This is something I want to touch the people on. Does your feelings about McLaurin change at all? Do you have any different feel about the person, the player, than you did before all of this started? I'll answer and say no, the fan part of me. Not for me. We saw how the sausage got made. It was ugly. And frankly, I think he was more aggressive in the holdout based on what he was being told from his agent than most guys would or probably need to be. But if it works, it works. And if the contract ends up being player-friendly here, then that's his goal. He got what he wanted. But let's see what you guys think. Let's go to Disco and Laurel on The Fan. What's up, Disco?
Hey, good afternoon. Grant, shout out to you, bro, on the 50. You got the you up on it, brother.
Hey, he was my guy.
Hey, man. Yeah, man. Hey, so let me say that it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm going to tell you why. Look, it's a business. If the team can take a hard stance, so can the player. It doesn't mean that he deserves what he's asking. But now, had this bled over into week one, I would have had a totally, totally different take on it. But I want to – you said this is the first time that this has maybe happened to people to come through these doors. Although it's not the same, Trent Williams a little bit, guys, because he said he wasn't going to play for the team anymore – wasn't about money, but in fact it was. He actually sat out. Wasn't it a whole season? He sat out a while, and ultimately he wanted more money. So not quite the same, but a little bit shades of Trent Williams. But no, hasn't changed my opinion of Terry one bit. He had to do what he had to do.
Appreciate you, Disco. So the only question I would have is the when you say, and it's a good call, bleeds into week one. I think that's the essential part of it for everybody in this kind of conversation. What I mean is, for me, bleeds into week one means what you and I both think. He won't be full Terry McLaurin. He's not playing 67 snaps.
See, that's where we've always disagreed.
And that's where we disagree, and that's kind of my point. To me, the bleeding has already happened. We have bled. He has now cost himself the ability to start and be Terry McLaurin. Now, long term...
You don't know that, though. That's kind of always been my argument.
Of course I don't.
In fact, I said, not that I know either, and I don't know any better... But just as a point of order, like my point was, if he comes back on August 25th and he has 13 days, that's plenty of time to essentially be Terry McLaurin at the start of the year. So that's the line in the sand I drew. You happened to draw yours a couple weeks earlier. And so you flew off the handle and got angry. That would have been me today. I would have done the Danny Rie rant today.
Now, we could both be wrong. He could need an hour and a half. He could need one pregame warm-up and be great. I'm just going off with really smart people that, A, play at the position, Kadri Ismail, Dan Orlovsky today. Just, you know, common sense to me would indicate you probably need to practice some football at some point.
Totally.
In the harshest settings.
At some point, could be 2 weeks.
Yes, and it could be. And it could be fine. So, but if we both think he's on a pitch count, doesn't that pitch count mean that he's not himself? Like, I'm talking about the 100% full version of him.
Yes, but
that's not reachable now, right?
Yes, I think that it is very possible. You are way more certain that he will not be himself than I am. I think there's a possibility he will not be himself. I'm not dealing with the same amount of confidence in that you are. But regardless, what I cared about was his availability to start the season.
Makes sense.
If he wasn't there, I'm Team Disco on this, what he basically just said. If he was not around to start the year, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Get your ass to the facility and be a professional. I cannot believe you've stooped to this level. You kind of got there when he didn't show up for the preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have really been to that extreme level until week one of the regular season. And your point is, he's already affected week one. A, I don't really think that coming back 2 weeks before, but B, affecting the definition, you're saying that you may not play the same number of snaps, or you might tire a little more, or you might have a slightly bigger chance of pulling a groin or whatever. I'm saying affecting week one by definition was not being there on week one.
Right. I think that's the distinction. So if you're closer to my camp, you're going, yeah, I'm annoyed. And if you're like, no, dude, he's under contract and on the roster, then you're not.
The Trent Williams thing, I actually had not thought about that once, so I'm glad he brought it up. It's actually, you know, he said this. It's not the same in any way. Trent, the season he missed was injury-related and cancer scare-related and all the other things that were going on with him. That was not a holdout. Like, he was not being fined for missing games every step of the way. It was kind of a completely different deal. But in the sense that he said he was never going to play for the team again, yeah, there was certainly drama with Trent Williams. There's no doubt about that. By the way, you know what we haven't mentioned today at all? And it just means that we haven't done a thorough conversation about this. We still don't know what McLaurin's ankle situation is. I mean, is he even going to be available for week one?
I hope that's the first question of Dan Quinn.
We probably have to make sure that Terry McLaurin's ankle is okay. Because what happens if he's unavailable to start the season? He's got an ankle injury.
He has an ankle. I mean, he was cleared from PUP. Right? So he's not on PUP.
He's not on PUP.
He's on the return to play protocol,
but he has,
I think.
A pretty serious ankle injury.
Yeah.
It's kept him out for weeks.
Weeks.
We probably should have mentioned that earlier in the show.
Return to play.
Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Edwin?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I feel that I don't feel any differently about. I'll say why I feel that I don't feel differently about Terry, but I feel differently about Peters. I'll say why. As for Terry, he did everything by the book, pretty much. The only reason you'd be upset with him is that he actually stood up for himself.
Well, I will say really quickly, I'm gonna let you finish Kanye style. They're not showing up for the preseason's not by the book. Trey Hendrickson was there. Micah Parsons was there. No showing a game. Now, the team may have told him they don't want him there because of the Monday Night Football cameras. I don't know. But the Bengals certainly didn't do that to Trey Hendrickson, who was even angrier. So that's not really by the book. That was kind of above and beyond.
Okay. I'll say it was by the book just because they were refusing flat out to negotiate or do anything. And he has to do what he has to do in order to arrive here. But, okay, we can disagree on that. I do feel differently about Peters because with his extensive 1 year as a GM in the NFL, he seems to have all this all this benefit of the doubt, all this trust. We hear people saying, Adam Peters, we trust, Adam Peters, we trust. And I'm wondering why. First of all, we have several draft picks that he's made who are right here on the team. We're still wondering if they'll come good or if they're just bust, mainly in Ben Sinnott and McCaffrey. He had this thing with Terry Draw all this time where he could have been in training camp. He could have practiced. They refused to negotiate. So he affected the chemistry of things in training camp towards the season. Then he's made trades also that are kind of questionable. With the Lattimore trade, he traded a third-round pick. The guy didn't do anything last year. He looked washed. This year, we're wondering if, and this is a player who's had a history of many injuries. So I feel that this is probably the first big event that many fans will now put him under the microscope and say, we've just thrown a benefit of the doubt towards him. Let's actually see what this guy is doing.
Because that would be another good way to ask the question. Yeah, it's like, do you feel any differently about Adam Peters moving forward? Do you hold any, ill will might be too strong, but do you hold any kind
of
a grudge?
Like, you okay with all this?
Yeah, about how he handled this. I would point out he's been the GM for 1 year. They won 12 games, which they hadn't done since 1991, and an NFC championship game. Now, most people will say, well, yeah, Jaden Daniels, which is the answer key. He drafted him, and he didn't have to. He could have taken Drake May. He could have taken Bo Nix. He could have done something else, right? Mm-hmm. So he gets credit for that, if that's the point. But I actually think that's probably fair. Like, the best thing in the world that ever happened to Adam Peters, because it can make up for 15 mistakes, is you drafted Daniels. Same for Dan Quinn and the coaching staff.
Sure.
They're walking around like they're headed to the Hall of Fame. You know, what if you drafted Michael right. Penix right there? It could be a different conversation.
Totally. A lot of their one-year deals worked pretty damn well, I would say. There's some other feathers in his cap, too. But the only thing I would take issue with out of the column was a good one, is the definitive, the team refused to negotiate. Now, I saw that. I know the report, too, the 45-minute press conference at Eastern Motors, where your job's your credit, where he said they haven't called me. Do we know that the agent was begging and pleading for them to come to the table and please come up, we'll come down? I mean, my point is, there's so much we don't know about this dialogue that to say this is Peters, he refused to budge. Looked like some budging happened at some point from somebody.
When nobody's giving you any information and the team wasn't really giving anybody information, all you can do is go off of the report.
Sure.
And the reports were on both sides that you heard a Schefter say a million times, including an hour before the news broke today. What's that worth? That neither side was budging, that they weren't really coming closer together. So that's what he's basing his opinion on, which I don't think is wrong to do. Now, we don't know if it's right or not, but that's all we have is the reports. Same thing we were basing the money guesses on the entire time, which I think was the only thing we could do if nobody's willing to. You can't not give us information and be mad that we're wrong.
Right.
You don't get to do both of those two things if you're the team or the player or the agent or whatever. But yeah, I always say this about GMs. It's a batting average business. Like, every GM's going to miss a lot of draft picks, going to miss a lot of free agent signings. You're trying to bat 600 to be an elite Hall of Fame type GM, basically. And he certainly did that last year in his only year getting a crack at this thing as a well-regarded superstar in the making, according to a lot of people I talked to, before he got the shot. But if your point is, hey, he wasn't perfect, well, okay, you're not going to be in that job. And yeah, let's wait and see. But we could ask that question if he wants us to.